Head coaches, African-American coaches, for their character and their leadership, but rarely they're talked about as geniuses. But, you know, I hope that this is a time when we stop talking about it in terms of black coaches and just talk about the quality of these human beings. As I look at this Colts team, Len Dawson, I look at a team that found a way to win ugly. They found a way to play with character. They found a way to get it done no matter what. And unlike last year's team that started off undefeated for all those games and then was disappointing at the end, maybe the biggest lesson was that Peyton Manning learned that he didn't have to win it himself.
Well, he had a defense this year. You know, fortunately for the Indianapolis Colts, the defense came alive in the playoffs. And I was looking at some stats here about their defense and what they gave up during the regular season, and it was 173 yards. They gave up 111 in that ball game yesterday against the Chicago Bears. And the Bears, on the other hand, you know, they've did an outstanding job defensively against the run, 94 yards or 99 yards, but they gave up 191 against, you know, Baltimore. So here's the thing that I think has to happen. A football team is a reflection on the head coach and the type of person he is. Now, if they buy into what the head coach is saying, you got a chance of being successful. And I think what has happened is, you mentioned about Tony Dungy and what type of an individual he is, what type of person he is, and the fact is that they bought into it. And because he never gave up hope. You know, when you see that, if your coach is yelling and screaming at you and calling you names and things like that, I mean, you know, he loses you. But if he talks to you in a calm manner, you know, that's the way I always like to be treated, to talk to in a calm manner, and let's figure out what's going wrong, if there is something going wrong, and find out a way to correct it. And I think that's the type of coach that Tony Dungy is, that he puts character at the top of his list as far as what he wants in a football player. And I think overall, when you see the way Peyton Manning, for example, how he handles the media and the press and that, it's a reflection on Tony Dungy, because he's speaking for Tony Dungy when he's got that microphone in his hand.
We're joined by Jarrett Bell from USA Today. Jarrett, as always, buddy, thanks for joining us.
Hey, what's up, Nick? How's everything?
Everything's fine, and Len Dawson's with us too. And you know, we're talking about character, and not just Tony Dungy's character, but the character of this team. The fact that they all learned that they were all important. It wasn't just Manning's show, but developing, as Len Dawson said, a team where the ethic is all about character. That takes time. You can look at a guy's 40-yard dash time, his bench press. You can look at those statistics, but it takes time to figure out how people will get it done. Overtime, in the press, in the heat of the moment itself, how much better was this team, as you look at it, with the Jeff Saturdays of the world and the other guys on that offensive line as one example, that defense that came through, that understood that they were going to always have adversity, but this time it didn't really matter?
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. And you know, Nick, one of the things that's kind of overlooked in all of this is Dominic Rhodes. Now, remember, when the playoffs started, Dominic Rhodes got benched. He started all 16 regular season games at running back. They went into the playoffs to play Kansas City, and lo and behold, Joseph Addae, who's been playing pretty well in his time, obviously, during the season, but they named him the starter. Well, Dominic Rhodes didn't pout, didn't blow up, didn't go to the media. He just, you know, took it like a man and played a lot of good football. And, you know, he helped win that game at Baltimore, and then last night in the Super Bowl, he's a leading rusher with 113 yards. And I think that just kind of, you know, exemplifies what you're talking about when you talk about the character and everything. And I asked Rhodes about it after the game. I went to his locker and talked to him and told him that I noticed that. And, you know, he said, hey, it's not just about me. It's this whole team. And they've been through this so many times, you know, these playoff failures, that they kind of grew with that. And, you know, I'll mention one more thing. You know, Tony Dungy said last night, it wasn't the most talented of the five teams they've gone to the playoffs with in a row, each, you know, five consecutive seasons with the Colts. But he thought it was the team that was best able to handle the adversity. They were together. And, you know, I don't know if that's a knock on Edgerrin James. It might be a knock on Mike Vanderjagt. But you remember, they had a couple things, you know, internally that blew up over the past, you know, couple years. And then even in the playoffs last year after they lost to Pittsburgh, you know, Peyton got in public and dissed his offensive line for the protection. You didn't hear that this year. Even when you know, things are going bad with the run defense, you know, the message is coming out. It seemed like a pretty tight group.
Absolutely. Len Dawson, give me an analogy here. When you looked at Cedric Benson leaving the field with an injury, you knew that Thomas Jones, who had been sharing the load, much like Dominic Rhodes and Adai, that put a lot more pressure on him. Do you think that was a big factor, conversely, that Dominic Rhodes was still there, was healthy, so they could continue you know, exchanging their roles throughout the game?
Well, you know, when you put Jones in, that's not a bad deal, is it? I mean, he's a heck of a running back. I thought he was going to be the featured guy that's going to get the ball, you know, 20, 25 times against that rushing defense of the Baltimore Colts. And they were always in the game until, you know, the last quarter when the interception for the touchdown took place. So, you know, I don't know what the game plan was for the Chicago Bears, but certainly I didn't want to put it in the hands of Rex Grossman, who's been up and down all year long. You know, didn't know what was going to come out of him, because this is the last game, Nick, the last game you want to win, because that's what people remember until the next time you put on the uniform and play another game. But going back to what you were talking about is Dungy, too. How about the interception for the touchdown? That was the first interception of the young man's career. It turns into be the turning point in the game. So here you've got, I'm going back to, everybody's buying into the program of Tony Dungy, that everybody is important. You know, your role is just as important as anybody else's. And here's a guy that comes up with the play of the game, really, that sealed the victory for the Indianapolis Colts.
Jared Bell, before we ask Len Dawson the same question, just a simple, in that condition, just a simple game snap, the connection between the center and the quarterback became very important, and a veteran like Jeff Saturday was crucial with Peyton Manning. What was going on? Did you get any insight about what happened with Rex Grossman and those fumbled snaps?
Yeah, I think it was just a case where, you know, they lost some concentration. And I know Lynn could tell you all about that, but I did go to Jeff Saturday after the game last night and ask him what he thought the difference was. And you know what he told me? He said, a couple of weeks ago, when we were getting ready to play Baltimore, we had we went through an entire practice with wet footballs. And I said, "Well, what did you do? What do you mean wet balls?" He says they soaked a number of footballs in a big tub and just made them wet and soggy and soap. And they spent the whole practice doing that just to try to give themselves, you know, a little confidence and, you know, whatever they needed to do to make that exchange happen. And they were consistent with it. So the thing you have to do, and again, talk to Lynn, because he's done this, and I haven't, but I know it's a case of, you know, just really being consistent, having your hands there at the same place the whole time, and for the center to try to be consistent putting it in there. And I think that was one of the things that made a huge difference last night, obviously, because they didn't have those real bad plays that came back to sting them, but, you know, so they handled the elements. And that's something that, you know, an experienced quarterback and an efficient, you know, center and offensive line and an entire unit, those are the types of things that make the difference. Because a lot of times in these games, it comes down to the big mistake as much as it comes down to, you know, really making a big play.
Len, what would you do as a veteran quarterback? What advice would you give to young quarterbacks to not make that mistake, to prevent that, you know, that fumble at the beginning of a play that crushed their confidence at points in the game when Chicago had a chance to come back?
Well, going back to a couple of things. One, you're talking about Indianapolis with a wet ball practicing it. I recall one time that Hank Stram had my center and myself in a mud puddle with water and taking snaps to make sure that you know, we could get accustomed to one another under those conditions that would, you know, unusual conditions. But what the quarterback has to do, you know, the center is very busy up there. Not only is he blocking somebody, but oftentimes he's calling out blocking assignments with the guards or maybe the tackles or whoever he's communicating with. So his mind is on several things. So the quarterback must remind him, as you leave the huddle, tell the center, make sure you get me the ball. You know, first things first, make sure you get me the ball. And I don't know whether Rex Grossman was pulling out too soon on that particular play that I was watching when he fumbled the football, or whether the center really didn't get it to his upper hand, which generally you put your right hand, if your right hand, put your right hand under the buttocks of the center and provide a little pressure there so he knows exactly where the spot is and maintain that pressure until you get the ball. I don't know exactly yet. You'd have to talk to the center and the quarterback to get the reason what happened on that particular situation. But that's something that should never happen. You must prepare yourself for that. And for the young quarterback, it's nothing wrong with reminding your center. Particularly, I used to get with Jack Rudney. You remember Jack? He
sure.
wasn't that big, but he on short yardage situation or goal lines, his butt would almost be down to the ground, and I'd have to tell him, Jack, get up, you know, make sure you get me the ball. You know, that's the first thing. Forget about anything else about blocking, but if I don't get the ball, the play is busted. So that's part of the quarterback's responsibility. That's part of the leadership that you have as a quarterback, is just a gentle reminder to the center, not criticizing him, just saying, make sure you get me the ball.
Jared Bell, before we let you go, buddy, led us to talk about Kelvin Hayden's big interception. Both Ron Jaworski and Mark Schlereth think that the touchdown pass to Reggie Waynes in that first quarter was maybe a key thing in the reestablishment of Indianapolis. In your last 10, 15 seconds, what was your play of the game?
Yeah, a couple things to mention real quickly. Yeah, that was a blitz that Peyton beat him on to get Reggie Wayne. He burned him a couple times on the blitzes. A lot of times, I mean, Peyton's game management was awesome because he kept calling them runs against the cover two and knew what to do. Kelvin Hayden was a receiver at Illinois, switched to play cornerback his junior year, so he turned into a receiver as he was zipping up the sideline. But, you know, that would have had to be the play of the game because, like Lenny said, it really sealed a lot of the issues at that point.
Well, appreciate it, my friend. Jared Bell from USA Today. Take a break. Have some fun for a day or two.
Okay, Nick. Thanks for having me. See you later.
Thanks,
man.
Jared Bell, when we come back, we're going to have Rick Goslin, who's been around the NFL for many years, along with our swan song for our good friend Len Dawson, Hall of Famer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Stay with us.